like to welcome you again today to Great Resolutions. My name is Marty Robert, and with me again today is Bill Lawson. Welcome, Bill.
It's good to be back again, Marty. We're still touching this brother John Wycliffe, so we believe, a lot to say still about him.
Well, in the last program, Bill, we covered how this English reformer, John Wycliffe, really had a burden to open the word and make it available to every Englishman in his own language. And he was burdened that each one would be able to read the Bible in his own tongue. And with this kind of heart, you know, Wycliffe, he began with a group of his associates to work, and they translated the entire Bible. Of course, I think we mentioned last time that portions of the Bible had been translated before, but this was the first time that someone had labored in this way to open the Bible in the English language completely, in an entire way, the entire Bible. So this was a previously unaccomplished task. And Wycliffe, we mentioned that he translated the Bible from Latin into the common man, or the vulgar, which was the Middle English language that people were used to using at that time. And during this time of translation work, Wycliffe had been separated from the university. Actually, he was somewhat driven away from the university.
Yeah.
He was able to go to that little quiet village of Lutterworth and do his work of translating there. And of course, while he was there, he was also really speaking out and opening up more truths. He had, the Lord allowed him the last couple years, actually, of his life to really release, both in writing and in speaking, many truths that he was beginning to see at that time. And he put them in writing, and he put the translating of the Bible into writing. And interest was growing more and more among the people at that time. Of course, there was no printing press available, so what they had to do was toil in a really a laborious way to make copies available to people. And we know that they translated many, or even hundreds, of Bibles, which became known as the Wycliffe Bibles. They produced these by hand, and it became a real guide to many of the believers at that time for both their faith and their living.
You know, Marty, before the movable press with Gutenberg around 1455, so that was an incredible, what would you say, a labor-intensive work. They had to produce it by hand. They didn't have copy machines like we have.
Along with that burden, Bill, you know, Wycliffe was not just burdened to get the word open and to translate it, but he wanted to begin to make it available to all the people. So he had to go through this whole process. And I think we are realizing today that it's wonderful. Of course, today we have the Bible translated from the original languages, from the Hebrew and the Greek. And we have, of course, with the recovery version that's been made available to us, we have such an excellent translation. And it's even greater that the word could be interpreted and expounded and explained. And I think even Wycliffe at his time was endeavoring to do that and to open up some of the truths that they saw in a limited way at his time. But these truths had to get out. They had to distribute them so that people could begin to read and understand what the Bible had to say. So this was their real work and endeavor back at Wycliffe's time.
Right. He realized, I like what you said, he realized the need not just to do a translation, just to get it into the mother tongue, you know, the vernacular of England, which is to get it into, I think, the Middle English language. But his work extended far beyond that. He wanted to get the word out, not just to translate, but to get it out, make it available to the people, and then even interpret it, speak about it, expound it, explain it. And that was, of course, with the hope that all of these divine truths could be distributed and understood by many. You realize it's one thing to have a translated work. It's another thing to have those truths understood, interpreted, enjoyed, right, and realized by others. So he considered very, very much how what's a way to spread these truths in the best way? How could the people, you know the word, and as many people as possible? And because he realized the all the heresies of the church at that time, and the realizing the, you know, the fallacy of the clergy, the corruption of the clergy, all different things, you know, from Catholicism, like transubstantiation, indulgences, purgatory, all the corruption of the religious orders, he began to realize maybe the best way was to use short treatises, leaflets,
right,
as we would say today, tracts, you know,
right.
Tracts, T-R-A-C-T-S, tracts, and that way he could get the word out much more widely distributed than a mere translation. In other words, if you could only get his Bible, you were limited. But if portions from the Word of God were printed, were, you know, made available in tracts, small treatises, booklets, then the word could really get out. Because, you know, after all, you know Matthew 28 talks about the Lord's commission to us to disciple the nations. And how are you going to do that if you don't have anything in writing? So this was a big, big thing in the going forth of the gospel, how it could be that, Marty, that his men, Wycliffe's men and his co-workers, they may have pioneered in church history the use of tracts to bring salvation to men and to even either and even help usher ones out of darkness into the light by reading just short portions of the word expounded. And this became an important practice that was used by the church in the centuries following. I know in my early days in the Christian church, we used many tracts to distribute to people, and that was one way we could get the word out.
His disciples, they were called Bible men. And the reason they called them that was because that's what they were. They were men who had the Bible and taught the Bible, spoke about it, and distributed
right.
it. And that's exactly, I think this is a really a good burden for all of us. How can we carry out the Lord's commission? Not all of us are gifted in a way to be able to translate the Bible or interpret it or expound it, but we all can take the word out, even use tracts or the Bible itself, and distribute it. And I know, reading Watchman Nee's writings, he points out that tracts have been very useful throughout the church age. And there's some very good characteristics about tracts, and that is, they're not limited by any man's ability
right.
to speak. So whether you're a good speaker or not, that's not the determining factor. You can still just give out a tract and let the words in the tract speak for itself. And it's not determined based on your condition, whether you're so up to date with the Lord or so high or something in your spiritual condition. You can still just pass out tracts. Tracts distribution enables so many saints to be able to function in a good way without being intimidated, thinking that you have to be able to explain the whole Bible. You can just give out the literature, let the literature
right.
do the work. And so I think this way of sowing, we know that even from the Gospels, this is quite an example. The Lord himself was
right.
the sower. And this is what we all need to do. Like Paul said in 2 Corinthians, we should sow
right.
with blessing. If we intend to reap with blessing, we have to sow. And one way of sowing, of course, is by just distributing literature, distributing Bibles and tracts.
That's so, Marty, you mentioned this term Bible men. That's quite interesting. In the age of the 19th century, D.L. Moody, Moody raised up a group of co-workers with him in his ministry of salvation. He used this term called colporters, C-O-L-P-O-R-T-E-R-S. And these colporters were ones trained by him, and they wore special vests and special clothing, coats, with pockets were sewn in there that would carry tracts and material in writing. So they would just open up their coat, and their coat would be filled, the inside of the coat would be filled with tracts and everything to distribute to the people. So no doubt Moody was probably influenced by these Bible men also. Of course, we know that Wycliffe, he after completing his Bible translation work, he went to be the Lord in the end of the 14th century, 1384, and he realized that if he didn't train a group of people to be like him, that all that he had done, it could have died out in his departing to be with the Lord. If everything that he did and taught would die out, then there would be a tremendous loss in the future. So in the last years of his life, he trained and equipped and perfected a number of his followers with the same truths and biblical understanding that he, Wycliffe had. They picked up the same burden, the same vision to trumpet the word throughout all of England, teaching the Bible. They enlisted all kinds of people to evangelize. Of course, they were bashed, like all the faithful ones through the ages. They were condemned as Wycliffeites, followers of Wycliffe, and even in a more derisive, derogatory way, they were called Lollards, L-O-L-L-A-R-D-S. And Lollard, that original meaning means a babbler. In other words, they were condemned. These people were just babbling on and on about the Bible, and they were condemned like this, but that didn't stop them. Some of them became itinerant preachers, just preaching everywhere. Ones like this John Purvey. He made some small revisions of Wycliffe's original Bible to improve some of the translation a little bit. And these Bible men, they considered it the highest service to preach the word, distribute the tracts, get the truths out, expound the word by Wycliffe. They distributed complete Bibles, individual books of the Bible, many tracts and things like that. So they were quite able, and they, in a sense, you could say, they reproduced. Wycliffe reproduced himself in these men, and so his work did not stop. They had a receptive audience. They preached in the open air, or they knocked on people's doors. They went into towns. They were very, very burdened to release and get the word out. It's amazing. They were like the faithful stewards of the 14th and 15th centuries, getting the Lord's commission taken care of.
That's right. They were just like Joseph in the Old Testament in Egypt. They were distributing the food to all those who were hungry at the time of famine.
Right.
And of course, it was definitely a time of famine there in the Middle Ages without the truth. And they just went forth and they continued in the same spirit as Wycliffe. And they, not only in their writings, but also in their speaking, they continued to speak out against Rome and all their corruption and all the shameful evils that were involved in the Roman Catholic Church. And they exposed all the supposed miracles and all the idolatry with all the statues and all the things that were there at that time. So these brothers, they were called poor priests. They were genuine, real priests of God who just went forth in this way.
Right.
Of course, like you mentioned, they really did pay a price when they went forth like this. They suffered great persecution, just like Wycliffe did himself. They were opposed for getting the word out. And this began to lead to a lot of troubling, of course, in the Catholic Church and even in the government.
Right.
Not only the translation work, but also the distribution work. So there were some laws even that were passed in England, said that whoever was reading these scriptures, they would have to forfeit their land, their goods, and their life. And some were even condemned, not only as a heretic in the eyes of the church, but even as an enemy of the crown as well.
Right.
And so some of the violators actually began to be hanged for treason, and some were burnt for heresy. And so, of course, King Henry IV at that time, he introduced a law. He was trying to please the clergy,
amazing,
and he made
Marty,
what
amazing.
He called Lollardry punishable by death through burning. And we know that some of these brothers, there was even notice of a special one nobleman, was called the Sir John Oldcastle. He was a leader among the Lollards, and I heard he had used his castle as a refuge and a meeting place for some of the believers. And he himself was captured by them, and eventually he was hanged for treason and burned at the stake for heresy. So these brothers really were faithful to the Lord and faithful unto death. And it's quite amazing. Even Wycliffe himself, of course, he, like you mentioned, he passed away by this time. And here now, years later, in 1428, they dug up his bones and burned his bones to ashes, and then they threw him in the river. And the river, of course, carried his ashes from one small river to another and eventually out into the main ocean. And one brother said this was really an emblem that his doctrine was now being dispersed all over the world. And I think this was a real point of our sharing here today, that the Lord needs some not only to translate the word, but also to distribute. Let these truths go forth all over.
It's really so, Marty. This is really a burden today. You know, that Wycliffe Bible that was produced, even after it was banned and people were burnt at the stake, it was really was produced in great numbers. It's amazing, even though it was done by hand. And still, there are still a few today, a couple of hundred copies of that original Bible available. And of course, if you go to the British Museum, you can still see some of Wycliffe's writings there. I just think we need to really thank the Lord for these faithful Bible men, in a sense, that they really cooperated with the Lord. And they were really a gift given by the church. They were willing to pay their life, pay the price of their life, just to get the word of God out. They were serious about their faith. And the word of God, of course, it has to be spoken, then it has to be written down by those who, then it has to be translated into the language of where the people are. And then the Lord needs some gifts to rise up, right, gifted ones, to interpret that word and to expound that word, and then he needs others to propagate that word. And this is what we are doing today. Even Brother Watchman Nee spoke of these faithful Lollards, that they're very moving. They were faithful to the Lord. They stood for the truth. They were determined not to be shut down by any opposition or by any heresy, although, of course, they suffered very, very much. They were threatened. They were persecuted. They were put to death. They remained faithful. And they are today a real testimony of ones who were willing to sacrifice their comfort, their families. They even gave up their lives. They gave up everything in the world to testify for the Son of God, that you might say the power of Hades would not be able to overcome the church.
Well, Bill, I think in light of these brothers' testimony, these Bible men or Wycliffeites or Lollards, or, you know, they were called by several different names, but in light of their testimony, it's very worthwhile. I think it's very instructive for all of us to really consider anew their pattern and our responsibility. That I just feel by reading Wycliffe's testimony and these brothers who followed him, that today, surely we are those who have received so much from the Lord. The Lord has really opened up the word to us in our language, and not only we have the translated word, but like you mentioned, it's been interpreted and expounded, and so many of the truths have been opened to us. But now it's we do bear some responsibility. Even the Bible says those who have received much owe much, or are responsible for much. So we should be those now taking up this responsibility and cooperating with the Lord and with the brothers who have opened these truths, and go forth and distribute the word and send it forth in gospel tracts and little leaflets, pamphlets, and even by distributing the Bible itself, that we could carry out this same commission that the Lord gave back in the book of Matthew. I think this is our burden and our responsibility today.
That's really so, Marty.
All right, Bill, appreciate another time together. This was quite enjoyable going over the life and work of our brother John Wycliffe, and I think we can learn a lot from him and apply this to ourselves here today.
That's really so, Marty. We all need to be the real Bible men.
All right, Bill, we'll sign off here. Thank you.